The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Now it's time to think and discern. This is Bob Burney Live.
Welcome to Bob Burney Live. This is the 4 o'clock hour on a Monday. I've got so much on my heart and mind today. First, let me. Well, no. If I don't do the other one, I'll forget it. The way my mind works. Just got a message from one of our listeners about a call for a complete boycott of the inauguration on Wednesday. Completely boycott it. Turn off all social media. Turn off your radio. Turn off your TV. As a protest against Biden and the election and so forth. And it was a plea to completely boycott the inauguration. Now, the individual sending me the message was not advocating that, just said, have you seen this? And the individual had copied and pasted this. And I said, no, I had not seen it. Then they said, well, I was just wondering if I should share it. I wrote back and said, personally, I would not. I have no intent or desire to boycott the inauguration on Wednesday. I want to know what Biden's going to say. Listen, if he's going to be in the White House, I want to know what he's up to. I want to know what he is going to say. So I just simply said, he is going to be our president. We are to pray for him. And no, I would not share it. And the individual wrote back and said, thank you, I understand. But when are we going to stop being lambs and start fighting like lions? And I have to comment on that because it is one of the greatest misunderstandings of Scripture in the church today. And here it is, and I'll try to make it brief, that we are to fight like lions because that's how Jesus fights. An incredibly, incredibly, incredibly popular contemporary Christian song talks about Jesus roaring like a lion. It's a great song. Very catchy. It was even the theme of a very popular movie. Jesus roaring like a lion. I see things all the time. Jesus is going to fight our battles like a lion. Jesus is roaring like a lion. Jesus is going to conquer like a lion. I see that constantly. Here's the problem. And listen to me carefully. And if you disagree with me, please give me scripture. I will be more than happy to admit that I'm wrong if you can give me any scripture. There is not one single verse of scripture in the Old or the New Testament that says Jesus is going about roaring like a lion or that Jesus is going to fight our battles like a lion. Not one. Not one. I would imagine many of you, if not most of you, are going, well, there's got to be. Well, there's got to be. Okay, find it. Find it and send it to me. The only reference in the entire Bible is in Revelation chapter 5. When John is seeing his vision, and he sees the seven sealed book, and no one on earth or in heaven is worthy to open it. And he begins to weep. Remember that? And one of the elders standing around the throne says, "Weep not, for the Lion of the tribe of Judah hath prevailed to open the book." Okay? That's it. The Lion of the tribe of Judah has prevailed to open the book. Immediately, if you read the rest of the context, John begins scouring heaven for the lion. He's looking for the lion because he was just told the Lion of the tribe of Judah has prevailed, which is a reference to the prophecy that Abraham gave to Judah about the lion. All right. So John begins looking for the lion. He doesn't find the lion standing in the midst of the throne. Is the lamb slain from the foundation of the world. And at the sight of the lamb, not the lion, at the sight of the lamb, everyone falls on their faces around the throne in heaven. Now, as you go through the book of Revelation, 17 times, Jesus is referred to as fighting, conquering, defeating, and in every single time, all of those 17 times, he is referred to as the lamb, not once the lion. Check it up. Book of Revelation. 17 different times it refers to Jesus as conquering, being a conqueror, defeating, and every single time he is referred to as the lamb. Now, if you want to get real biblical, I hope that's what you desire. If you want to get biblical, who today goes around like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour? It's Satan. Correct? Am I wrong? The one who is said to be going around today as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour is Satan. Let me finish my explanation by taking you to the greatest battle ever fought on this planet. The greatest battle ever fought on this planet. Where was it? Calvary. When the forces of death, hell, Satan himself, all gathered together on Golgotha's hill. Jesus was lifted up between heaven and earth and was crucified. At Calvary, the greatest victory ever won was accomplished at the cross. Anybody disagree with that? Does anybody disagree that the greatest battle, the greatest victory ever won on this planet, because Jesus conquered sin, death, hell, the grave, and even Satan himself? Now, how did he fight that battle at Calvary? As the lion or as the lamb? Pretty easy answer, isn't it? But we have this terribly unscriptural notion that Jesus is going around fighting all of our battles like a lion. Now, he has the legal right to be the Lion of the tribe of Judah, according to the prophecy back in Genesis. And technically, he owns the title, the Lion of the tribe of Judah. We learn that from Revelation chapter 5. But he has chosen to conquer and to fight our battles as the Lamb. Now, at the Battle of Armageddon, In the future, Jesus will conquer with a sword coming out of his mouth. He'll be riding on a white horse. But even then, he is not characterized as a lion. It's a whole lot of misunderstanding. And I'm sorry, that'll ruin a lot of songs for you. But Jesus has won all of his battles on our behalf as the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. All right, quick break, and then we'll be back.
Talk radio that makes a difference.
Makes a difference.
This is Bob Burney Live.
Well, I would say a hearty amen to this headline. Trump faith advisor urges Christians to stop falling for conspiracies. Share the message of Jesus instead. Here's the story. A member of President Trump's Evangelical Advisory Board is urging the president's Christian followers to reject conspiracies and stop spreading fear. Tony Suarez, the chief operating officer of the National Hispanic Christian Leadership Conference and a member of the Evangelical Council that advised Trump, made the comments on Facebook this week after watching several conspiracies spread online. And here's what he said. And by the, again, this is a strong supporter of Donald Trump. He was on his Evangelical Advisory Board. He says, quote, "I openly campaigned for President Trump and spent most of September through the beginning of November on the campaign trail when I wasn't preaching. This is not the outcome that I personally wanted. With that said, I cannot sit back and watch conspiracy after conspiracy be shared and not speak out." If you're a daily listener, that has been a message that I have been sharing with you over and over and over again. Suarez writes, and again I quote, "The Insurrection Act was not signed. Nancy Pelosi did not try to escape the country, nor is she in jail. There are not helicopters flying all over the place getting ready for martial law. There will not be martial law. President Trump has not been hiding in a bunker or military base in Texas, and General Flynn is not going to be named vice president." Then he went on to say, "How many times have you read something big is going down in 48 hours and nothing happens? I think it would be proper for you to delete those posts and videos and not spread fear. I hope this post will influence, encourage some to unfollow or ignore these messages of fear and fake news. Let's share the message of Jesus. Let's tell the world there's still hope, joy, and peace because of the one seated on the right, on the white throne." And I would echo that. And there are crazy things going on. And yes, there are conspiracies. But folks, you know, last week, it was spreading all over social media that there were helicopters flying all over Vice President Pence's house because Tuesday of last week, according to what the rumors were, Vice President Pence was going to be made president. Remember that? Last Tuesday. I don't know whether you saw it on social media. I did. And because of that, helicopters were flying around and so forth. And martial law was supposed to have been proclaimed Tuesday of last week. It didn't happen. Just be careful, folks. Be cautious. And I talked to you often about this principle of the two kingdoms. Everyone is a part of a physical, material, political kingdom. If you're a citizen of the United States, that is your physical, material, political kingdom that you are a part of. You are part of the United States of America. If you live in China, that's your physical, material, political kingdom. If you live in Germany, that's your physical, material, political kingdom. Everybody is part of some material, physical, political kingdom. All right. If you have accepted Jesus Christ as personal Savior, you are also a citizen of a heavenly kingdom. Now, our physical, material, political kingdom, called the United States of America, has a document that is our authority, or at least it's supposed to be, and that's the Constitution. We have a government under which we are to comply with, we are to surrender to as much as we possibly can until such time that that government tells us to disobey God. Okay? And we have a president. Today it is Donald Trump. Day after tomorrow it will be Joe Biden. We have a heavenly kingdom. Jesus Christ is King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and we have a source of authority. It is called the Bible, these inspired, infallible, inerrant word of God. All right. I have allegiance to both kingdoms. But my first allegiance, by far, is to the heavenly kingdom. Because that will not change. That will never change. Jesus Christ will rule and reign forever and ever and ever. And that is where my first allegiance is. That's where my first love is. That is where the majority of my concern is. Now, do I have an allegiance to America? Yes. I have no problem whatsoever holding my hand over my heart and saying the Pledge of Allegiance. I believe I am a patriotic American. I've traveled all over the world, and every time I return, I thank God that I live in America, that I don't live in Cambodia or the Philippines or Russia or many other countries that I've visited. But I am most concerned about the heavenly kingdom. When any of us become more concerned about the earthly, physical, material, political kingdom than our heavenly kingdom, our priorities are way out of whack. And you know what? If our allegiance to our heavenly kingdom is what it is supposed to be, we won't worry nearly as much about the earthly kingdom. All right, quick break.